session, and as you know, we have four bills today. I'm going for both work session and possible work session and public hearing. I'm going to call House Bill 3119 first because we have a representative who would like to testify to that. Representative, you'd like to take the stand, so to speak, and I'll have counsel explain the bill.
Chair Ackerman, members of the committee, House Bill 3119 authorizes county clerks to keep permanent and long-term records of documents that are filed or recorded by the county clerks as computer-based data files instead of microfilm in the county clerk if the county clerks provide for a regular and routine backup of data files.
Mr. Chair, Sal Escovel, representative from District 6, which is Jackson County and specifically Medford. I bring this bill, and it's very simplistic. It's about, what, two sentences total, or one sentence, the whole bill? And upon discovering, I used to run some title companies, and I discovered at the time that all counties are required by statute to make a microfilm backup of all the records. Even in a day of technology where we have that backup on a computer disk, which is quite adequate, we still require that, and it's never been taken off the books. This bill basically allows the counties that have the technology to do a backup on a disk instead of the redundancy of doing microfilming. I think microfilming, and I've just spoken to someone in the audience, it reminds me of waging nuclear war with a bare skin and a stone knife on today's technology. We're so far advanced from that. So what the other problem is the microfilm readers themselves. I don't know if any of you are familiar with the way those work, but when I was running a title company, you could hardly get replacement parts for them because they're becoming like a dinosaur where it's very, very difficult. We would virtually buy used machines to rob parts because of inability to get new parts for them. Also, I have a letter here from Georgette Brown, Josephine County Clerk and Recorder, and she said they would save Josephine County approximately $8,000 a year just by this one process of allowing them that latitude. Jackson County would be approximately two or three times more than that because we have two or three times more the documents per Josephine County on recordation of documents. Have any questions? I'll be glad to answer any.
Fine. Thank you for your testimony. Questions from the committee. Representative Flores.
Thank you. Thank you, Representative Escobar. I am always supportive of cleanup issues. And so I have a couple questions, and that is, are county clerks currently utilizing both methods, that would be microfilm as well as computer technology?
Yes, Mr. Chair, Representative Flores, that's correct. They have to do both. Jackson, Josephine counties, I know, and I'm sure Deschutes County, Marion County, Lane County, Multnomah, the tri-counties up in Portland, are all doing computers, and they're putting them on a disk, and then they have to, required by law, to do a microfilm backup.
Thank you. I just wanted to reemphasize that they are both using both methods at this point.
Fine. Thank you. Further questions for the committee. Representative Garrard.
I just want to thank the representative for bringing this issue forward. I know in Klamath County, the storage of this information is a serious problem because it usually winds up in basements, and basements get flooded and all kinds of things. So this is a good bill, and I thank you on behalf of the county clerks for bringing it forward.
The other thing, that Mr. Chair, Representative Garrard, the other thing this brings to the table is it brings a much clearer, crystal clear document to the forefront. If you've ever had the opportunity to see some of the microfilming that is currently being used, I would say a good 40% of the documents themselves, when you print them out, they're almost to where you cannot read them. The older the document, the worse it is. But now, at least in Jackson County, I know we're, for about 2-3 years, every document that comes into the county clerk to be recorded is scanned and put in an ARB system to retrieve it for a location and store it on a computer disk, which, gee, you can store one computer disk and probably store half a year, a year of documents.
Follow up, Mr. Chair.
Yes, you may.
This would not require clerks to go back and record previous information, correct? That would continue to be on the microfilm and in my county, books upon books upon books of written documents going back to the early 1900s. So this would be effective, I mean, give them the option as of when the bill is passed?
Yes. Mr. Chair, Representative Girard, that is correct, because we don't want to dictate to people they have to go back through all of their previous recordation of documents, because they would be there forever doing it, first of all. But the people that have the technological advancement to do this have been scanning documents for probably 2 or 3 years now. And every document that comes in, they scan, they put in their computer bank, in their system, and then put the ARB system for a location so they can retrieve that document. There are some counties that will not be able to do this, and they'll have to continue to use the microfilm, and that's fine. Some counties can't afford the luxury of having the scanning systems and the computer systems like some of the other counties, just because of the lack of documentation and the lack of income to do so.
Further questions from the committee? Yes,
Mr. Chairman,
McPherson.
I'm just curious about the structure of the bill, and maybe council could clarify this. There's no reference to an ORS section that exists now. I was looking to see the effective date, what it said about effective date, because of the question being raised about whether it was retroactive in its effect, and it's just a statement that is enacted into law without any reference to anything else that exists in current law. I'm just curious about why it's that way. I'm not sure why they didn't put when it would start. I guess the question would be is if there's a requirement under current law that requires the backup microfilming, surely that exists someplace in ORS, and why wouldn't that be being deleted?
I think maybe the reason it's not deleted is because this is voluntary. This allows clerks to record using computers. So if they're not recording using computers, they would still be required to record or to back it up in microfilm. That's my best guess. I don't know why the other one isn't deleted.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Representative McPherson. If we deleted that, then the counties that could not have that ability wouldn't be microfilming. This is a voluntary basis only if you have the technology to do so.
Right, Mr. Chair, if I could.
But I'm not an attorney.
Thanks for that input, but I just in terms of the orderly administration of the laws, it would seem that if somebody goes to a section in the ORS now and they see a requirement that says you've got to have a backup microfilm, and then we pass a law that isn't codified anyplace in the ORS and says, but it's voluntary, it's hard for people to find that. We're getting into a level that's just purely kind of the writing of the laws, the mechanics of scrivening. But and if Ledge Council thinks this is a good way to do it, it's not as though I'm particularly concerned, but it just caught my eye that it seemed to be hanging out there.
Further, we have a hand from the audience. You want to come forward and state your name for the record and unscramble our egg?
Chair Ackerman and members of the committee, I'm Jan Coleman. I'm the Amhill County Clerk. To shed some light on this, there is some statute in 205 about keeping the record, but basically where this gets its basis is from archival law, which is administrative rule set down by the Secretary of State. So in archives, administrative rules where we get where we have to do the microfilm and so forth, because it's the only recognized media at this point to be ongoing for 100 years.
Representative?
Mr. Chair, thank you. So I guess the question is there a place in statute now that requires backup microfilming, or is that just an administrative rule that hasn't been changed?
In statute, it does not specifically address microfilm. It just, talks about the retention of the record, but it does not address microfilm per se. The administrative rule does that.
See, Mr. Chair, Representative McPherson, we still have in all counties books where they were handwritten.
And that, you know, we all have those.
Old deeds, 1800s, early 1900s.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Let me ask a follow-up now that we got into this bill.
It seems so simple.
I think we have support, for the bill. I'm wondering, is this one of these things that is really an administrative matter? Does it need legislation to require the clerks to use a more sophisticated way to keep records?
Mr. Chair, I think that there's been some discussion about this for quite some time. Nothing has ever been done, so now it's time that we need to go forth and make sure that this does happen. This isn't that we're dictating to any county clerk, nor is it that we're dictating to the archives people. But what it is that there has been not a good communication. I think there's been a good communication. I just don't think that it's ever happened here, because this has been going on for quite some time, where the county clerks would like to have this ability. It's never come down. So therefore, it's time that we stepped in and had that voluntary situation. And of course, you may hear from the archive people that, gee, we don't know whether a computer disk will last 100 years. Well, yeah, I hope I'm not around when that we find out that fact, but I think you probably can. The one thing that the AR rulings need to be very specific is, one is when technology changes, you need to go forth and change your disk accordingly and download and then upload into the new process and the new technology, because technology changes every day.
Thank you. Now we provoke some more questions. Okay. President Garrard?
Just one quick one. Would this have a fiscal impact on the counties?
Mr. Chair, Representative Garrard, yes, and it should be a positive cash flow for the counties that can, in fact, have this ability. Because right now we're doing a dual situation. We're scanning, and then on the other hand, we're archiving with microfilm, which is pretty archaic to some counties.
Representative Flores? This is going to be quite a debate.
Well, thank you for bringing this barn burner to the judiciary.
It's only one sentence.
I'm glad you didn't have a bigger bill.
I'm fully supportive of what is being accomplished here, and I think Representative McPherson does bring a very an issue that we need to address. When we pass legislation, ordinarily it is tied to a specific Oregon revised statute. This one not having a piece to tie it to, where would we plunk it? Should we pass it? And I think we should. Understanding that what you're talking about is current process under administrative rule and archival law. If they need this in order to get the job done, and we need to do it. However, where do we put it?
Okay, I have one answer. It would be my inclination this morning to move this into work session and get it to the full committee, ask legal counsel to talk with the legislative counsel so that information will be available to the full committee. If we need a housekeeping amendment at the full committee, we'll do it in order to move the bill. That's my intention this morning.
Mr. Chair, I think that we could just tie this into 205 on retaining of records. It would be a very simplistic fix. I don't know. I can't answer for the attorneys why they didn't tie that in, but that's okay. Maybe they were looking at the AR ruling.
Yeah, I'm reluctant to do it on our own because it's going to take an amendment, and as I said, we'll legislative council and then go from there. Okay, further questions from the committee?
Thank you.
That's good. anyone else wishing to testify on this bill?
Julie was getting into it.
Seeing none, that's even better. With that, I will conclude the public hearing on House Bill 3119 and open a work session on the House Bill 3119. Motion from Representative Garrard.
Mr. Chair, I would move House Bill 3119 to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Garrard moves that the House Bill 3119 be forwarded to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Further discussion or debate from the committee?
We've done well on this.
Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll.
Representative Flores?
Aye.
Representative Garrard?
Aye.
Representative Flores, excuse.
I have no information. So it's absence until we receive the information.
Thank you. Chair Heckelman?
Aye. House Bill 3119 is forwarded to the full committee with a due pass recommendation, and I'll name Representative Garrard as carrier. Legal counsel will report back to us at that time. I thereby close the work session on House Bill 3119 and open a public hearing on House Bill 2978. Counsel?
Chair Ackerman, members of the committee, House Bill 2938 makes technical, conforming, and form and style changes to statutes requiring instruments to be filed with or presented for recordation to county clerks. It also clarifies whether specified instruments are to be filed with or presented for recordation with or to county clerks. This is generally a housekeeping bill. It's just changing references in the ORS that say filing when they should actually say recording.
Excuse me, Mr. Sears, were you talking about 2938 or 2978?
Sorry, I've made a mistake. I meant to go to the top of the list, and I should have said 2938, but as long as I've opened the public hearing on 2978, let's go there first.
I'm sorry.
We've got our wires crossed.
Chair Ackerman, members of the committee, House Bill 2978 permits courts in a dissolution judgment to order revocation of beneficiary designations made by one spouse in favor of the other spouse on certain financial assets. This bill has been before this committee under a different number, House Bill 2292, that was January 31st. There were some -1 amendments to that bill, and we have those made up for this bill as well. Those -1 amendments allow judges to change beneficiary designations also on judgments for separation.
Okay, we're still in public hearing on the House Bill 2978. I have one person signed up. Would you like to come forward and give us your name for the record, please, and testify when you're ready.
Chair Ackerman, members of the committee, my name is Tammy Dettinger, and I'm a family law lawyer in private practice here in Marion County. I'm also past chair of the family law section of the Oregon State Bar, and I'm currently on the executive committee. I practice in the Mid-Willamette Valley, and I have been here for several years, but I still consider Klamath Falls to be my home. This bill was previously before you as House Bill 2292. The only difference between this bill and the bill you saw earlier in the year is this has a much more narrow relating clause to really tell the members of the House and the Senate really what it does. What has happened in the past is that once people get divorced, as the law is now stated, it is their responsibility to go out and find all the assets that they've been awarded and change their beneficiary designation to either their children or their mother or their new spouse. This would allow, it's optional, it would allow divorcing people legally separating or getting annulled, the option of including a provision in their document or their final decree that would automatically revoke their prior spouse as the beneficiary of their assets. If for some reason they did not name a new beneficiary, then it would go in the normal course based upon statute to children or subsequent spouses as the statute would define. It's optional. There are several of us in the family law practice have had nightmare situation where our client maybe has not acted quickly enough and some catastrophe happened and their ex-spouse received a significant windfall that would not have been their intent. The -1 amendments that are before you are simply technical amendments. There were several places in the bill that we had not followed legal separation through, so it's just to clarify that this would apply in divorce, legal separation, and annulment.
Fine. Thank you for your testimony. Other questions from the committee? Representative Flores?
Thank you. Just for clarification, now when a person becomes either annulled, separated, or divorced, and they do some new estate planning documents with their, if they have either that they remain single or that they have a new spouse, that does not automatically deal with documents of that have survivorship or beneficiary provisions. Is that correct?
Chair Ackerman, Representative Flores, yes. What this would do is just apply to, and it's again optional, if you choose that you do not want to include it in your paperwork, it doesn't happen automatically. So you would have to choose to include it, number one, and then of course if there are any subsequent estate planning and you decide later that you want your ex-spouse to be the beneficiary of your assets, even if you had opted for it in the divorce decree to take care of your children or whatever, you are still free to add whoever you want as your beneficiary. It just gives you the option in a divorce to kind of give you the safety net if you don't catch them all or if you don't act quick enough and you get hit by a bus when you're leaving the courthouse. Thank you.
Further questions?
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Representative.
I want to understand the relationship to House Bill 2292. And I see we have -1 amendments, and maybe I didn't absorb what counsel was describing. Are these the same... the -1 amendments to 2978 the same as the amendments that have been prepared to 2292?
Chair Ackerman, I'm representing McPherson. My understanding is the change from 2292 to this incarnation of the bill was simply a narrowing of the relating clause to more specifically define really what we're doing with this bill. I don't think that there are any other amendments that were proposed to 2292 and that the -1 amendments are the only ones that were drafted to correct some typographical errors in the drafting.
Oh, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
So the -1 amendments that we have before us here are the same as the amendments that have been prepared to the other bill. So the only differences between the two bills as printed is the relating to clause. Is that right?
Representative Ackerman, Representative McPherson, yes, I believe so.
Okay.
All right. Further questions from the committee? Right. Thank you for your testimony. Anyone else wishing to testify on House Bill 2978? Okay, seeing none, I will close the public hearing on House Bill 2978 and open a work session on that bill.
Mr. Chair, I would
yes.
move the -1 amendments to House Bill 2978.
Is there any discussion, any objection to the incorporation of the -1 amendments into the main bill? Hearing none, that's allowed.
Mr. Chair, I would move House Bill 2978 to the full committee with a due pass as adopted, as amended recommendation.
Okay. Representative Flores moves that House Bill 2978 as amended be forwarded to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion on the motion? Hearing none, the clerk may call the roll.
Representative Flores?
Aye.
Representative Gerard?
Aye.
Representative Worth absent.
Chair Ackerman.
Aye. House Bill 2978, as amended, is passed to the full House with a due pass recommendation, and I'll ask Representative Flores to be the carrier. With that, I'll close the work session on House Bill 2978 and go to the top of the list and open a public hearing on House Bill 2938.
Chair Ackerman, members of the committee, House Bill 2938. Makes technical, conforming, and form-style changes to statutes requiring instruments to be filed with or presented for recordation to county clerks. It also clarifies whether specified instruments are to be filed with or presented for recordation to county clerks.
Okay, do we have... look at my sign-up sheet here and see... Is there anyone here to testify on the bill? Come forward. I am looking for the sign-up sheet. Perhaps you can do this another way.
Is that it done?
No. We've got another one. Okay. Please state your name for the record, please.
Chair Ackerman, members of the committee, I'm Jan Coleman. I'm the Amhill County Clerk. I'm here representing the Oregon Association of County Clerks today.
Good morning.
With 2938, basically, it's what you hear referred to as a housekeeping bill. Clerks go through periodically and look for things that, in the record, that we think are kind of things that need clarification. We've been through this several years before, And with 205 and correcting things that said filed to be recorded, with county clerks, most of the things are recorded. Very few things are filed. That's generally a thing that's done with the courts. So we found in 87, which is statutory lien, another thing that goes through and talks about filing, which basically should be recorded, and that's what we're addressing in this bill. I might say to you there are a few things after the draft, and I'm real new at this, so you know, please correct me. But I'm thinking maybe we need to submit an amendment, because when they came out in this, something that says filed says then presented for recording, and in the clerk world, you can present something to be recorded, but that doesn't necessarily mean it happened. If they don't have it on the right form, if they don't have it notarized, if they don't have certain things, we don't record it. So they could have presented something for recording. It doesn't mean the actual thing took place, and that worries me a little bit with some of the wording here in some of this. Somebody could say, I presented it for recording. They could have done that. That doesn't mean it actually happened, and as needs to really happen to proceed with the statute. So that would be one of my concerns with actually how it turned out with some of the interpretation here.
Okay, questions from the committee? I just wanted to understand your concern that the language, you think that the language presenting to be recorded might be misinterpreted to mean recording?
Yes. In some cases, they went through and changed the language that said it was going to be filed with. Here's when it says, if a lien claimant considers the bond, which used to say filed with, presented for recording to a recording officer and inadequate or whatever. Well, the bond or this recording could have been presented to us. That doesn't mean it really got recorded. And the statute needs to say it really got recorded. That is my concern.
Would a simple definition of that phrase be sufficient to, if we define what presenting to be recorded means?
That's,
I'm trying to figure out an easy way to cure
your problem. Sure, I'm totally in understanding. Yeah, that could possibly do it, yes. I think as used here, I know we went through it with them and some of them got corrected and some of them didn't. They all mean recorded. It's just that some of them are saying presented for recording.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair?
Yeah.
Actually, there are a number of references using the term presented for recording, and I think there is a complete distinguishing factor between presenting and actually recording.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm trying to see how we can possibly, I mean, we can accommodate this number of different
ways. Well, we can certainly go through and present, you know, and clean it up and present an amended, you know.
All right. What I think I'll do then is, I don't think there's any other witnesses on this bill, but I'll conclude the public hearing, not go to work session, and then have you work with counsel on the proposed amendment, and then come back to work session. Would that be all right?
We could also go to work session, make these fixes, and then pass it through next full committee, which will not be this Friday, but next Friday, if the committee wants to do that, since it's such a technical change.
Just a suggestion.
We don't need to do that, but it would expedite the process, so we wouldn't have to come back here to do a work session. But we could also do a work session next week, either way.
Yeah, well, I think your other suggestion is the best one. We'll proceed to the work session today, pass it to the full committee, and the council will see if we need technical amendments at that level.
Okay.
Okay?
Great.
And you can consult with him at any time.
Okay.
Fine. Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you.
Anyone else wishing to testify on the bill? Okay, seeing none, I will conclude the public hearing on House Bill 2938 and open a work session on House Bill 2938.
Mr. Chair, just a question for clarification. Is your intent then to begin working immediately the coordination to get this language clarified?
Yes. Okay. Yes, we've done that a couple of other times, but it's just been sort of administrative work, administrative housekeeping type of amendments. So.
Well, thank you. Even in that context, I would move House Bill 2938 to the full committee with a do-pass recommendation.
Representative Flores moves that House Bill 2938 be forwarded to the full committee with a do-pass recommendation. Discussion on the motion? Seeing none, I'll ask the clerk to call the roll.
Representative Flores?
Aye.
Representative Garrard?
Aye.
Representative Worth absent. Chair Ackerman?
Aye. House Bill 2938 is forwarded to the full committee with a do-pass recommendation, and I'll designate Representative Flores to be the carrier, and Council will report on amendments when it goes to the full committee. With that, I will close the work session on House Bill 2938. We'll have a work session on House Bill 3157, and I am the chief sponsor of the bill. There's no other witnesses signed up. The chair has left, so I don't have a substitute chair. I could designate Representative Flores in that capacity, and I can take the witness stand, so to speak. And you are being presented with Dash 1 amendments, which are basically housekeeping. I'll explain that in my testimony. Representative, you probably want the gavel.
Is this just a work session? There's no
public hearing?
Did you open a public hearing?
You opened a work session, not a public hearing.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll ask President Flores to rescind that and open a public hearing.
We'll rescind the work session on House Bill 3157. We will proceed to open a public hearing on House Bill 3157. Mr. Sears?
Chair Flores, members of the committee, House Bill 3157 provides the duty of county courts or boards of county commissioners to inspect local correctional facilities is discretionary for facilities not operated by the county. Right now it's mandatory for either the boards of county commissioners or county courts to physically inspect all correctional facilities within the county.
Thank you. Representative Ackerman?
Thank you, Substitute Chair. My name is Robert Ackerman. I'm a state representative. My legislative district is 13, which is basically North Eugene. I was requested by several Lane County commissioners and staff to present this bill to you this morning. Under the current law, the county commissioners have the mandatory duty, as they should, to inspect correctional institutions that they own and operate. But under current law, they're also commanded to inspect other local facilities that they do not own and operate. This actually means the physical inspections and reports on the condition of these facilities. So what happens now is that the commissioners are mandated to inspect not only the Lane County Jail, which they own and operate, but any other local correctional facilities that might be located in the municipalities within the city, within the county, which could include Eugene, Springfield, Cottage Grove, perhaps Oak Ridge, if they have a correctional facility there, a holding facility, perhaps the city of Florence. So what this bill would do would continue it mandatory that they inspect their own facilities, but the discretionary to conduct inspections of facilities not under their basic control. The Dash 1 amendments are just a clarifying. I was not satisfied with the draft of legislative council. I didn't think they made it a clear enough distinction between local correctional facilities owned and operated by the county and local correctional facilities operated that are not operated by the county. The Dash 1 amendment makes that distinction more clear. There's no opposition to the bill. It would certainly increase the efficiency of county government if they only were required to inspect their facilities under which they own and operate rather than other facilities that also have governmental entities to do that task. So that would conclude my presentation this morning.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Representative Ackerman? Representative Corrine.
It's not so much a question, but as a former county commissioner, I have a lot of problems with this bill. As a commissioner, I've always felt it was that responsibility because counties have taken over running basically their corrections, that the ultimate responsibility, and things have been discovered by commissioner visits. So I'm having a real rough time understanding how a commissioner would view this. It makes it more voluntary, but I'm not quite sure that that's a good idea. So I need to be convinced, I guess.
Well, I guess my response is that if a local municipality such as a city has a correctional facility, it should be the duty of their city council to conduct a inspection and oversight of their own correctional facility rather than having the county do that for them. So I think the idea here is that the and the assumption is that the local municipality should have this responsibility, and that's where it should lie.
Follow?
Follow.
So this bill is only facilities that are not operated by the county.
That's correct.
Commissioners would still be required to inspect any correctional facilities that comes under the county's responsibility.
Absolutely, and in a mandatory fashion.
Thank you. I see Representative Beyer here. Did you wish to come forward and give some comment as well?
Good morning, committee. My name is Representative Terry Beyer, and I represent House District 12. And this is a similar bill to one that I had introduced last year for the county commission in Lane County. A particular commissioner who wanted this. In his mind, what you got was a dog and pony show because it was all set up in advance. Nobody ever found anything, and they spent a lot of time traveling to these places. So I think that this was his intent at that time. And again, it is just facilities that are not run by the county. And so I just wanted to mention that in the testimony. I'm sure he probably did and did a wonderful job. But
any further questions? Representative
Chair, could this the prior language be construed so broadly that state correctional facilities would be picked up? I know it doesn't sound like that's actually being done, but it looks like it's pretty broad language the way it's in the statute now. Apparently, it's only municipal jails that are now being inspected by the county would be taken out of county inspection responsibility by this?
Yes, anything that's not owned or operated by the county would be discretionary. The county could have discretionary authority to make the inspection, but not the mandatory. They're not commanded to do it. They only are mandated to inspect the facilities which are owned and operated by the county.
Right, follow-up, Madam Chair. But just on that tangent I alluded to a moment ago, like a state correctional facility, here in Marion County, presumably the Marion County commissioners are not obligated to go to the Oregon State Penitentiary and inspect it for cleanliness.
That's right.
For example, so apparently it's now at least being construed as applying to municipal correction facilities, and I'm not aware of what others there would be within a county.
That's the correct construction as I understand it.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Well, there appear to be no further questions. Thank you very much for your
Thank you very much for your questions.
We will close the public hearing on House Bill 3157. Would you like to proceed then?
All right. Yes, Madam Temporary Chair. I will. Okay, thank you. I will move the dash one amendments to House Bill 3157 be incorporated in the main bill. Discussion. Very nice. Is there any opposition, Representative? Mr. Chair, I will give a courtesy vote to get this to the full committee, but I'll kind of reserve my opinion on it for the full committee debate.
Fine, appreciate that. Thank you. That's noted. Any further discussion on the main motion. Clerk, may call the roll.
Work session. Representative Flores?
Have I?
This is to adopt.
Considering that we are in work session, I would say aye.
Okay, have we voted? Have we put the dash one?
Okay, then. Is there any objection to the dash one amendments being incorporated within the main bill? Hearing none, that's allowed. I will move that House Bill 3115, as amended, be forwarded to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I believe the bill is 3157.
I'm really off this track this morning. Okay, you're right, 3157. That's what happens when I start out of order. We're back to 3157. Any objection to the motion? Clerk will call the roll.
Representative Flores?
Aye.
Representative Garrard?
Aye.
Chair Ackerman?
Aye. House Bill 3157, as amended, is forwarded to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. And with that, I will close the work session on that bill. Further business before the committee this morning? Seeing none, we're adjourned. Thank you.
Dyslexia kicks in often.